a martini, shaken, not stirred.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm the king of the world!
Do or do not. There is no try.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I'm your number one fan.
And here we go.
What's up, film fans? Welcome to this week's bonus episode. Welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined... Ed?
Hey, what's up, folks?
What's up, guys? Another week, another bonus episode, and we continue to talk Friday the 13th. Today we talk Friday the 13th, Part 3. Ed, how you been doing?
Not too shabby. Just kind of going with the flow, doing my thing.
It's been a pretty fun week. We're only three movies in so far. Friday the 13th has been
a little bit of a different ride.
It's a roller coaster so far.
So far.
At least with 1, 2, and now 3.
Yeah.
I am excited for the next few weeks to come because now we're getting deep into some of the...
The iconic ones.
The classic scenes, the scores, the imagery.
Even the masks.
The mask gets introduced in this movie and Part 3. But yeah, welcome to the bonus episode. If you guys are brand new listening to this podcast, every Thursday we drop a bonus episode and have been for the past 2 months now. We started off talking A24 movies, and now we've send our focus onto Jason and Friday the 13th series. And then our bonus episodes are literally about like 45 minutes to an hour.
Usually, yeah.
And we just get straight into the conversation and talk about the movie.
Yep.
If you guys have not heard our two-hour episodes that drop on Mondays, you get a full spill of like entertainment talk, recent watches. We have a top five that drops every single Monday. So, thank you for joining us.
There is only one thing I want to bring up that's kind of outside of this movie. I just learned this today. Sonny Chiba actually passed away. So, yeah, you know.
Who is that?
Sonny Chiba was on Kill Bill.
The
martial artist,
yeah,
legendary guy.
You guys, this episode will drop Thursday evening,
yep,
roughly between 9 and 9:30. So if you're listening to this on a Thursday night, thank you. Or if you're listening to this Friday morning or this weekend, again, thank you. On our two-hour episode, we just got done talking Shawshank Redemption.
I know, right?
This past Monday, fun conversation. Go back and check it out. In the archives along as all of our other episodes.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, go ahead and email us what you think, if you've ever seen it, if you've seen it because we, you know, went and seen it. Email us to see what basically you think. Is it the greatest movie of all time? Is it one of? Is it kind of not your cup of tea? Do you think it's crap? What do you think? Let us know basically this weekend and Monday we might throw you out there. So yeah.
Yeah. Send us that email, CINNEN921@gmail.com. You can also find us wherever you listen to podcasts at.
Yes.
We are on Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Deezer, Player FM, YouTube, and now thanks to the hashtag PFPN, we are on iTunes. So now you can find us through iTunes, through the Prescribed Films Network. Again, if you are on the Prescribed Films Network, go check them out. They have a bunch of awesome podcasts on there. That's prescribedfilms.com. And you can also find yours truly, the Cinnamon Movie Podcast, on that website as well. Yes. Including, we are also on social media everywhere. We have giveaways, so keep an eye out for that. Facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. Or just Facebook search The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. We pop right up.
Yep.
We're also on the Instagram. You can find and follow all of my recent watches on the Instagram page. One word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And then the Twitter is @Cinnamon405. So that being said, And I think if people are listening out there, well, we know people are listening.
Yeah.
Now they know how to find us and where to get to us. Let's dig into Friday the 13th, part 3.
Man, so, okay, I want to talk about the theme for a second. Like, what the hell? Why did they go, you know, like, thriller on us and shit? Like, I'm not saying it's horrible.
I dug it. I mean, this is a...
No, I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just like...
And we'll play it at the end of the episode. But, yeah, I kind of was debating whether or not to open up the episode with that or not.
Right.
But we definitely will close it.
It just kind of definitely a different take, especially on a lot of different horror flicks that don't really go kind of a pop funk kind of deal to their, they don't really throw that in with their usual theme. So this one did. So a little strange back in 1982. So yeah, kind of thought that was a little funky, a little weird, but yeah.
Speaking of 1982, it had a release date of August 13th, 1982. With a budget of $2.2 million, and it grossed a little over $36 million at the box office. IMDb has it at 5.7 right now. Rotten Tomatoes at 6 at a 7%. And then the Metascore is at 30%.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not much love.
No.
Which actually, you... Okay, so I...
This one is also directed by Steve Miner.
Yeah. So funny enough, Paramount had to actually give out around eight and ten million dollars to actually have this shown in theaters, not to go ahead and convert it to 3D, but to have it shown in 3D at theaters, because literally some theaters back then were not equipped for it, because this was the
right.
first movie ever to well, have 3D.
This wasn't the first movie well, ever to have 3D, but this was the first Friday the 13th movie to have 3D.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, having revived from his wounds, Jason Voorhees takes refuge at a cabin near Crystal Lake as a group of co-eds arrive for their vacation. Jason continues his killing spree. Thus enter Friday the 13th, part 3.
Which, you know, surviving his wounds and basically rejuvenating from them and all that, that's a little...
That's the beginning of every movie.
What? Right. I mean, dude is literally raised from the dead how many times?
Not yet, though.
Well, true, but, you know, well, technically, I guess once, unless you count him as a wandering boy waiting for his mom to come home after she got killed.
So, like we talked about last week, this movie opens up with the re-hashtag of part two. And then I got to say that so far out of all the first three movies, this is by far, it's, okay.
I would say that's better.
Let me rephrase this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed part one for what it is. I gave it a 9.
Yeah.
Part two, I think I gave it a 6. I can kind of live without part two. Part three is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Not kind of paying tribute to the original.
In a couple ways.
But picking up and just kind of running with the ball. It really surprised me when I was getting ready for this rewatch, I was surprised with how low the ratings were and how bad some of the reviews were.
And a lot of fans actually like this one most because it does introduce the hockey mask.
It does introduce the hockey mask. It also introduces some of his unique signature kills.
And iconic weapons for that
we'll
matter.
Talk about. Introduces, not really introduces, but he
uses it.
Yeah,
more.
Uses the machete more. Let's talk about the cast. Dana Kimmel, Tracy Savage, Richard Booker plays Jason, Terry Ballard, Gloria Charles, and I can't wait to ask you what you think of that opening as far as introducing the whole new, you know, you get introduced to the Stoners, you get introduced to Vera.
Well, I mean, first we start off, you're kind of forgetting the actual true opening. You're forgetting the old couple.
Harold and...
You know, poor Harold's mistake. Jason's mistaken for Harold out there, so that probably pissed me off even more. So he was like, you know what, this knitting needle, I'm going to shove right through you.
I understand this movie is 3D and it's made for 3D.
Yeah.
But to me, some of the scenes with... you know, pushing the broom handle into the camera. Some of those were a little too...
on the nose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're wrong. They were really, really wanting to push the 3D thing. They were really wanting to use what they were paying for, I mean, honestly. You know, and, I mean, they're wrong. I think that's part of the reason why Paramount was, like, all right to a point, shoving out, you know, somewhere in between $8 and $10 million to kind of hype this movie up and kind of make people, or let people view it in its true fashion that they wanted it to be viewed in. So, I mean, I guess if you're going to do all this crud, then you might as well, you know, make it to where people can. So, yeah.
What did you think of the first two kills with the couple just going off and getting away with their, you know, getting it?
Oh, you know, I mean, it's always kind of fair Jason fashion that has come to be known today, at least, you know.
Your favorite character in this was Shelley, wasn't it?
Oh, my.
Come on.
Not really, to be honest. I mean,
played by Larry Zerner, who is now a lawyer, by the way.
Oh, damn.
He never acted in anything else after this.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of funny, you know. There were some times where he's annoying, but there were some times where he actually was kind of funny and all that. Yeah, no.
Did you enjoy his multiple times of crying wolf? And I have that in my notes. I'm like, even though I've seen this movie a dozen times, I realize that it's eventually going to catch up with him.
Yeah.
And he's gonna cry wolf so many times, and then...
Yeah, I mean, that's reality right there.
Yeah.
That's reality. You know, and then... I forget what her name was, but Chris, she goes ahead and doesn't even believe him, you know.
She's the one that had, and she's the one, but played by Dana Kimmel.
Yeah,
she's the one that ends up having the flashbacks because she's had something traumatizing happen to her before.
Okay, right? Yeah, yeah.
She has the flashbacks, and she's later on in the movie. I guess she was in the alone or hanging out in the woods with somebody, and she got caught by herself, and at the time she didn't realize it was Jason, but this creepy, disfigured character kind of was stalking her.
Yeah.
She got away, but that's why throughout the whole movie and in the beginning, she's kind of leery of going back to the woods.
Yeah, because she said that she kept trying to run away, and basically she blacked out from it, and she doesn't remember how she actually got away and all that.
And she's the one that has the relationship with Chris, right?
Yes.
Or not Chris, but Rick.
Rick the stoner.
No, he's not really a stoner. He's the mature looking guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one that kind of, if this was a camp counselor thing, he's the camp counselor looking guy.
Yes.
The stoner couple, you're talking about old Cheech and Mrs. Charm.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would be weird if it was Mrs. Chong. But
who is it? It's Debbie? Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie as well as... Let's see.
So, yeah, Debbie and Chuck are... I can't talk about the stroke. Debbie and Chuck are the stoners, right?
Yes. Yeah, they are the stoner couple.
And then you have Vera, who is the one who gets... Later on, she gets the kill with... She's Jason's first kill after he puts on the mask, correct? Vera is the one who gets the
the
arrow in the eye.
Yes. I gotta say, for a backwoods kind of... they kind of paint Jason to be kind of... And I'm more feeding into the second movie. They kind of paint him to be a backwoods hillbilly kind of guy.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's last week. If you want to hear about Sackface and Hillbilly Jason, go back and listen to last week.
He was pretty damn good with that. You know, especially with having, you know, some offset eyes and all that, with how the makeup goes and everything. He was pretty damn good with that thing from, probably 50 yards out.
Do you think this movie is as bad as the critics and everybody gives it?
Not necessarily.
Because, I mean, 7%, that's kind of harsh from Rotten Tomatoes.
No, that's pretty fucked up.
That's why we say hashtag fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, they're...
But IMDb, IMDb has at least given it a watchable rating at almost 6. They're giving it 5.7.
And then you've got, 30% on the meta?
30% on the
meta. So I was just like, damn, okay.
So everybody's kind of in between, but that's the thing. That's why I don't really, I mean, I know we've done that for years as far as the hashtag fuck Rotten Tomatoes, but literally that's why I feel like I've never paid attention anymore to Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I even, you know, deleted the app and deleted the Flixster app because every time they would say a movie is that bad, and it's usually always horror movies. Horror movies always get trash ratings unless it's something like that's just overly popular.
Yeah.
But like horror movies in general just always usually get very, very bad ratings. And I stick to, you know, I stick to IMDb. I stick to just word of mouth.
And I mean, honestly, kind of like what we've said as well for years, go in with an open mind, get your own opinion. You know, if you're interested in it, screw what people are thinking, screw what people say about it. I mean, I've had some bad experiences like that, so I will go ahead and say that. But you know,
even I have to admit, and I think you can admit as well, that since we started this podcast or looking at movies a different way, since we watch them as we're getting ready to like dissect into them, is that how we like to call it?
Yeah.
Man, I look at things so much different now.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that I really truly hated back in the day, we talked about this I think on the Shawshank Redemption episode.
Yeah.
To where have you guys ever went in and or you asked me?
Yeah, specifically. Yeah, I did.
You asked. Go ahead and ask that again.
Basically, have you ever hated a movie at one point and then fell in love with it, or loved a movie at one point and then strictly hated it next time you watched it?
Well, I have really, really liked a movie, and then the second or third time I've watched it, I'm like, it's okay.
Or even as, you know, time goes on, you know, liked the movie, and then as you grew, like, just fell completely head over heels in love with it. Like,
I've never really liked a movie and then turned around and just hated it. Let me reverse that. I have hated a movie and then watched it, and I haven't fell in love with it, but I'm like, you know what? I like this movie.
And see, that's me with Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I thought it was a dumb fucking thing when I first watched that damn thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, like 5-6 years later, I was like, you know what? This ain't that bad. It's all right. You know, the story's not bad. Da, da, da. And I know it's got a cult following of its own, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Friday. But at the same time, you know, it's just kind of a crazy thing.
Well,
on that.
You know what? Yeah. It's a great comparison because these movies, whether you're a horror fan or not, I know a lot of horror fans that can't stand these movies.
Yeah.
And then I know a lot of horror fans that are like, you know what? You have to respect what this franchise has done for the genre of horror.
Like, these are some of the roots.
Yeah, but it's also like, I mean, you can sit back and look at it. And like, I was looking at it at the end of the day when Chris was going towards Jason with the knife.
Yeah.
And he's backing up and she stabs his hand at first.
Yeah.
And you hear him grunt.
Dude, I know.
And then you hear, you know, and then she stabs his knee.
Yep.
And this is near the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But you still hear him, like, grunt.
Yeah.
Rewatching these movies, that's the small things that I'm just like, you know what? That's pretty cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
You don't catch that when you're watching it for the first few times.
No. Well, I mean, you don't pay attention to it at all, really. You don't think about that because you're just like, oh, dude got stabbed. Ah, you know, okay, yeah, dude got stabbed. Like, I mean, the knife she had was like a 7-inch knife, so, you know, understandable. But at the same time, in later iterations, you know, he takes a freaking machete to the shoulder, and it's just like, okay, that ain't shit. It's like a cotton swab being thrown at him, like nothing.
And we'll talk about it a little bit later on through the next few weeks as we dig deeper into the movies. I want to ask this question early, though, and if you guys out there want to, you know, answer it, email me, and we can talk about it. The one thing I don't enjoy about Jason is throughout the films as the franchise goes on, he's more of a unnatural, supernatural, zombie-like character. I don't necessarily like that. I like the idea of thinking that he's just a big, crazed-up psycho killer. Let me know what you guys think. If you guys enjoy him, you know, as the films progress, he becomes more supernatural and powered by something more. Do you guys like that, or do you guys kind of like the early stages of Jason where you think he's just a big...
big burly dude that stayed out in the woods and waited until people fucked with his territory?
Let us know. If you want to watch Friday the 13th Part 3, you can find it on the premium subscription through Hulu, which is through YouTube TV. It's through the Stars subscription. So if you have the Stars app, you can get it there. You can also get they just released a new Friday the 13th box set. You can get it anywhere where you get physical media. There's also a box set at CDR.
And actually, I think you can actually do through the Stars app with Amazon for like the next week or something, I think. But yeah.
But the other thing that's pretty cool that we're reviewing is we're reviewing the Scream Factory box set. So it's on all of our social media accounts. Go check it out. It's even in the movie posters that we it's in the posters that we're putting up on Spotify and all the other podcast streaming
services apps that we get.
So yeah, let's keep talking about it, man. This is the third installment. At some point, did it feel like it was calling way back to the original? I like how it kind of 1, 2, and 3 go so good together. That's what I like about the first three, at least.
Oh no, it's not even a subtle thing. It's a very on the nose, because you've got to look at a few of the kills, for that matter. He kind of roughly goes in with itself, because let's see, I think it was Debbie maybe that got the. Was it Debbie that got the machete through the sternum, through the chest?
Debbie.
Or was it Vera? No, it wasn't Vera. We just talked about Vera.
Debbie is the one, I believe, who. Yeah, you're right. Because Vera is the one who got the
arrow through the eye.
Yeah, and then the stoner chick got the hot.
Hot fire poker.
Right. So you're right.
With Debbie, her death is basically extremely on the nose to the first movie.
She's the one who,
because she
got the Kevin Bacon death.
Yes. On top of that, if you looked at the magazine, it was Fangoria, as well as when it was dripping blood onto it, there was an article that she was reading about Tom Savini.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, they're wrong with the original
makeup artist.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that was way too on the nose for that. Like, they literally paid homage to the dude by doing all that stuff in her death specifically, you know. And then she looks up right before she dies, she looks up and sees, you know, old boy that, you know, thought basically his hands were for walking, not his feet.
I didn't enjoy him at all in this movie. He's probably the only one that I didn't enjoy.
Well, I mean, you've got some of those characters that just, you know, over the top or just stupidity or anything like that. But
did you? I do want to say some of my most favorite scenes of this film and that are most memorable.
Yeah.
Are the ones with the bikers.
Yeah.
The convenience store scene, and then even, you know, when the two get killed, the girl and then the white dude get killed by Jason.
He kept that cigarette in his mouth, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought those were some fun scenes.
It added a little more depth to it, just because you weren't just watching teenagers go out, get high, have sex, get drunk, have sex again, and all that kind
of
shit.
Well, let's talk about that, because sometimes some of these Friday 13th movies can kind of have some softcore scenes in them.
That's why several of them have almost been X-rated, and not even just for that, though. It's more for the blood.
Yeah.
Funny enough.
But I kind of appreciate that in this one. There's not really any heavy nudity in this one.
Not really. I think Debbie was the
There's
most.
No topless scenes.
Well, I mean, she was like the closest. Yeah. But I mean, other than that, not really.
Yeah. So this movie sells you on its story, its gore, and some of the unique kills, and then just Jason getting his mask.
Yeah.
And I find that funny enough that you don't really see his face until the very end. You see his face in the flashback scene.
Right.
Because there's three different versions of him in this one. There's the one with the mask, there's the flashback scene Jason, and then at the end there's the one where he takes off the mask and does the kind of like
weird stalker looking down.
Like he's winking at you. Yeah. Here I come, baby.
Like, hey, what's up, girl?
Yeah. So that's kind of, you get three different versions of Jason in this one. So the first thing that I noticed when the mask came off is I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, not only he still looks uglier as shit in this movie, but you notice I've noticed if I'm Jason in any of these movies, you know what the last place that I'd want to be?
Where's that?
Is a lake. I wouldn't want to be. They talk about it. Hold on. They talk about it in Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah, 100%.
But
and that's like his phobia.
Right. But in like in. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near water because
I could have drowned.
Oh, goodness.
I got to put that hashtag Gilbert Grape scene in there. But yeah, he could have drowned it. You know, he could have like relived that all over again. But I'm glad they kind of don't do it yet, because that would have been like too easy. Oh, let's just push this big sumbitch in the water.
Oh, I mean, don't wrong. You know, that's kind of apparently the way he actually died was he drowned. You know, so I mean, it's kind of a thing, you know, later on in films, you know, more specifically like you just brought up, Freddy vs. Jason.
Which we're going to talk about.
Yeah. That his fear is drowning as well as big bodies of water, you know.
Speaking of Freddy, go check out our guys over at Friday the 14th podcast. I know I say this is an ad-free show, but we're going to throw them out some love anyway. They're talking about Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And, we've talked about it too. I think it's a great movie, so I can't wait to hear their thoughts on it. As we're talking right now, I think their episode is being uploaded now as we speak, but nice. I can't wait to listen to it. So I kind of find it funny this week. We're talking about Jason. They're talking about Freddy. So go listen to their episode, Wes Craven's New Nightmare, available on everything Friday the 14th podcast. Find them on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts at, and check out their social media at Friday the 14th podcast. Some great guys over there. Can't wait. But no, I think as far as our film goes, Friday the 13th Part 3, I really enjoyed this one more than I thought I would.
There you go.
And, you know, you don't get to see Jason in the mask. I think it's like literally an hour in and 3 seconds.
Oh, shit.
That's I did some digging.
There you go. But I mean, still, no, you know, because he gets it kind of like what I was talking about last week. He gets it from Shelley, for that matter. You know, he basically takes it off of him and it's my shit. which apparently, so I guess there were two different kinds of masks that they used, because I watched basically like coming up with the mask, a little thing on YouTube, and apparently one of them was like a leather mask and the other one was a clear mask with red like tapes or whatever on the front of it and all that. And apparently one of the crew had randomly, I guess some of them played hockey, and one of them randomly had a fucking hockey mask and was like, put this on the son of a bitch. Maybe that'll be
Isn't that weird that some of these iconic just like horror masks that we know, you know, the Michael Myers is just a random William Shatner mask painted white because they didn't have no money. And then this one, one of the crew guys has a hockey mask. Put that on him.
Randomly because they just play hockey on the side. Like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Speaking
of hockey.
Uh-oh.
And they randomly play. Did you see the picture that I posted of Clerks 3?
Yes.
Of the crew down at the bottom?
I seen that a couple days ago. A couple days before.
What did you think?
I'm liking it. Obviously, so... She is basically part of the movies crew still, because she has movies on her. They are quickie groceries.
Yeah, they're like a convenience store.
So, you know, they've all kind of came together. He came from the one younger guy came from movies over to the quick groceries. So I'm really interested. And I
hope they do
wait.
It right.
Yeah, and I agree. More like the first, not the second. Because the second wasn't bad on some points, but
I think they just really need to throw it back to the original.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully that's more like what they do. Maybe a little bit of interaction in the movies and all that with Jay, maybe Silent Bob as well, and go from there. But I mean, yeah, mostly like it was just the stupid ass hilarity of the convenience store life. And I mean, they're wrong.
So more Friday the 13th talk. Do you think it would have been cool to see, like, a prequel at some point in this franchise? Because you don't really get that in any of these movies. You get flashbacks. But I'm talking about maybe, like, a Motel Bates kind of vibe with Jason and his mom.
Kind of basically like, you know, Jason going around and, you know, kind of, you know, everybody...
Have you seen Leatherface? You see his teen years, and then you see how demonic his family was. That's what Leatherface is about. And I kind of wish maybe there was something like that with Jason. Yeah. I know. You know, you don't need every single backstory in movies, but you've done 12 or 13 of these movies. It would be nice to see just a prequel.
You're milking the cow freaking dry already. Yeah, like,
so might as well throw something fresh.
Yeah, a little bit of cream on top of there. But, I mean, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea, I don't think, personally. Because, you know, seeing Jason just run around, you know, kind of his carefree little self and all that. And then, you know, the dirty little camp counselors doing what they do, and then, you know, how did Jason Small react to it at the time?
So, really, again, you got to call back to Freddy versus Jason. That's you get a probably Small. About a 5-minute clip of him as a kid.
Yeah.
What did you think of Shelley's death? We're talking about Shelley. We're talking about Jason getting his mask. I gotta say, I enjoyed like seeing the makeup of him getting his throat slashed. I thought that was a perfect throat slash scene.
Well, I mean, and then you go to where he goes to the house, and you know, he's basically like, oh, she's, you know, she just looks at him and she's like, okay, dude, whatever. Even shines the freaking lantern right up to his neck, and it's just like, dude, nice makeup, like, you know, yeah, but come on, man. You know, and dude, well, movie-wise, is actually sitting there, and he's, like, dying.
You think there's any, like, any... I was sitting there thinking about this. This may be me thinking too much about a movie. Yeah. But Shelley is holding his case at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you have in there? And he's like, his whole life. And it's just, like, props. It's makeup. It's stuff that, you know, he pulls pranks on. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like... Do you think this is kind of like an apologetic scene to the original makeup artist from the original one? Because, you know, that movie kind of was his whole life. You know, that was his big break. And then I guess him and Steve Miner kind of had like a fallout.
Yeah.
This movie really felt like almost they were trying to apologize to him.
And on top of that...
Is that me looking too much into it?
No. Oh, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. They've both gone on the record saying that they didn't have a fight.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of like, okay, that's kind of bullshit. But
I think it had more to do with money.
Probably. But I mean, either way, yeah, I do kind of agree that they did make some hint, some nods towards him, quite a few different nods towards him for that matter. And I mean,
and he's a great makeup artist.
Oh yeah, no. He's got a lot of, he's renowned for a lot of different things. So yeah, I mean, it takes a minute to actually get there, but yeah. But I mean, you know, whether it was, whether it wasn't, you know, either way, like, there's some subtle, there's some heavy nods towards the guys. So, yeah, there's literally ones that are directly on the nose. So,
what did you, and I know he's not the only character in this, but a lot of the memorable scenes does have Shelley in them.
Yeah.
So,
more of them, yeah.
To kind of sit there and say that he didn't do anything really after this, I'm kind of shocked to see. Because he's, you know, I thought he was one of the better actors in the movie.
I mean, honestly, he was better in his role, definitely.
It took me a minute to kind of grow to the character. But the more and more I've seen this throughout the years, he's definitely, like, he's a memorable character.
Right.
Especially with, like, the convenience store scene where they run over the bikes.
Yeah.
And he's so proud of himself. And then they end up, you know, they get caught eventually.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong, the bikers siphoned their gas for a second.
Because they were originally, trying to just burn the barn down, weren't they? Or were they just trying to take gas out of their thing?
I think just take gas, but yeah.
I thought they were originally trying to burn the barn down.
Right. Shit, maybe. But, I mean, well, you know, then again, with a bike, you know, you get practically 100 miles to the gallon. So, yeah, in all reality. But, The bikers added an extra depth to the whole entire movie because it was kind of an outside, like, the teens camp counselors or whatever you want to call them, basically, like, those are the, you know, usual bait, I guess, or the usual mice in this film, for that matter, to where, you know, now you've got some different prey, for that matter. So it's kind of cool just to see the difference in the three, for that matter, the addition of the three into the movie. So, yeah. But, hell, you know, I mean, kind of raised the body count or whatever up to 12. You know, so that was cool.
It almost seems like more kills are happening as the movies go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, okay. Because, like, what, you had 10 in the first, 9 in the second, and then 12 in this one. Dirty Dozen, you know, kind of thing. And it, if I'm not mistaken, in the original trailer, didn't it kind of, like, show most of it anyways?
In part 2.
Okay, so it was just part 2.
Yeah, part 2, it says the body count gets higher.
Yeah.
And then it starts showing, like, all the kills in the trailer.
And, I mean, like... That one, I was just kind of like, are you serious? Like, why? You know, to where, when, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's what kind of what a lot of movies mess up about now, especially like horror films or superhero films nowadays, even like Fast and the Furious messes up, because like Han, like, don't get me wrong, I know we're going a little off subject, but like Han and Jacob, they could have been kept in the dark, you know what I mean? For some of the I don't know, newer age horror films, it seems like all the stuff that, you know, all the scarier stuff gets put in the damn trailers. Or comedy, half the good jokes get put in the trailers. And it's just like, dude, you're screwing yourself right then and there. Because then, or like, I love the Thor's eye patch kind of thing, to where the trailer has something that is never in the movie. And it's just like, okay, where the fuck was that from? You know,
yeah, I would rather have that, because a lot of the stuff you get in the trailer is from deleted scenes anyway.
Right, right.
But so, so going back to the biker kills, yeah, the body count seems a little higher.
Which I will say, on the biker kills, I don't understand how he did not actually see her hanging there. Because he literally comes in from behind her or the side of her, and just, like, looks back and is like, oh, no, and then gets stabbed. Like, the fuck? You were able to keep your damn cigarette.
I did see in the special features that this one was the original idea for Friday the 13th Part 3 was supposed to bring Amy Steele back.
Yes.
And she, like, is in a insane asylum, and Jason is, like, stalking her in the insane asylum. I don't know. That is actually pretty cool, but they were like, it sounds too much like Halloween 2.
And that's what I was just about to touch on. I was like, yeah, that kind of sounds familiar.
Because you have, they do that in Halloween 2, even, you know, Freddy 3. Yep. They're in a crazy house.
Yep.
So I'm like, maybe not. But
I feel like they went the better decision.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly.
Even though so far we're in 3 movies and they have not yet originally gone back to the original Camp Crystal Lake.
True.
So I think it'll be fun. I think it's either part 4 or 5 that brings back the original Camp Crystal Lake, because they put a different sign over it. And then later on the sign gets like torn down or something, and it's Camp Crystal Lake. So I think it's either 4 or 5.
Well, actually, did you know what they called this during production?
Hmm.
So a lot of movies will go ahead and call it, like, A New Hope was called Blue Heaven or something like that. This one was called Crystal Japan throughout production, to throw fans who were trying to see where the set was and all that stuff. Or, you know,
that makes
different
sense.
People like that. Yeah. And I guess because of one of the earlier stars had a stalker for a bit. And actually, some of the stuff actually did happen in this one with that. So, if I'm not mistaken, the girl who plays Dana Kimmel actually kept getting calls from somebody, older guy, basically, as well as she kept seeing someone in the forest throughout production. And once production ended, never got any more calls, never heard or seen anybody again in the forest or around anywhere. So
This movie sits at 1 hour and 38 minutes. I think these movies are perfect the way they are. 1 hour and 20 to 1 hour and 40 minutes. I think, you know, you don't need to go anything over that. I think it's just perfect runtime. But yeah, so far we have not yet gone back to Camp Crystal Lake. I think it's coming though in 4 or 5. I can't remember.
Right.
We'll talk about it next week.
maybe not.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Do you have any favorite kills from this movie? Or if you had to just name one, what would be your favorite kill from this movie?
I would say probably Vera Sanchez's death, the bolt through the eye or the arrow through the eye or whatever. I mean, you could kind of... It was cheesy and all that, but it wasn't... It wasn't as bad as the eye pop or the head crushing scene.
Oh my god!
Because like that, I can kind of death. I can kind of understand that, because they were wanting to do the 3D effect and all that, the eye popping out.
I understand that too, but not only did it look cheesy, but it was just,
you could kind of see some of the visual, like the string pulling the eye and all that, or that it was on.
It Yeah.
And that 100%,
that was a little out there.
Yeah, that was a little too fake.
Now, the body looked good after she found him.
Yeah.
He looked good after, you know, the head squash, but that whole, yeah, that was...
During was, yeah. But, you know, the bolt killer, arrow killer, whatever have you. Because, I mean, on top of that, like...
So, your favorite kill is Vera?
Yeah. She seems so, like, ditzy from that. Like, I don't know who the hell she thought that was. Because, you know, she's like, oh, I've got your wallet, you know, and all of that from the water. And then she's like, wait, who are, like, it reminded me of that one kid from the little funny commercial. But, like, who are you? Like, oh, my God. This is how people get killed, really. Come on now.
My favorite kill is going to be Debbie.
Yeah.
That one was not only, it wasn't original, but right. Just the way it was set up, I'm like, I really enjoyed that
one. It was a little different.
Yeah.
A little different, plus definitely a different person doing it, for that matter. So
I got to ask you this. Crazy Ralph isn't in this movie, correct. But at the beginning of the movie, there is some weird homeless guy laying in the middle of the road, and they're like, don't touch him, you don't know where he's been, and then he has like an eyeball that like he pulled out, and he starts dangling it. What did you think of that scene?
I mean, strange. Just really strange, because it was just like, okay.
I felt like it was not needed.
Right, like, I mean, I kind of get the gratuitous older couple and all that, kind of the tune-up game, if you will, you know, from taking that from college football, but tune-up kills. But, yeah, that was kind of just like, who thought of this? Why?
So do you have any favorite scenes from this particular movie, or just maybe one favorite at least?
Probably the biker's death scene or whatever have you, or the two and then the one getting his ass kicked. I thought that was a nice, like, subplot or whatever have you, because it was just nice to get a little bit of extra added depth from a different set of characters outside of the camp,
yeah,
for that matter. So that was kind of a cool thing.
I'm probably going to say my favorite scene would be the Debbie kill,
yeah,
or it would probably be the time that you finally see Jason kill Shelly and then he walks out with the mask. It's fun. And then in that same scene, he turns after he kills Vera.
Yeah.
And he looks up at the light.
Yeah.
And just the way he's looking at the light, knowing somebody's in there with that mask on, I kind of got chills watching it, and I kind of get chills thinking about it. You know, talking about it now, it's just like, man, you know, people talk about how iconic some of those other scenes are, like the Jaws, you know, the song and the shark and Jaws, or,
yeah,
you know, Luke Skywalker looking at the two moons and Star Wars. But people really don't appreciate some of these Friday the 13th movies. If you're a film fan in general, I think you have to somewhat appreciate that scene or this movie in particular. That mask and that person, I feel, you know, this might be way out of line, but I feel like you could put that character up there with Darth Vader and maybe neck and neck.
People may
not know what the name of the movie is, but you put that mask up there and people are like, that's Jason.
Well, I mean, yeah, and people associate the old school hockey mask like that more with Jason than anything, for that matter. You know, just like, you know, you see that.
Because they haven't worn masks like that on the hockey rink in, like, what, 50 years?
At least
long time.
At least 30 that I know of, for sure. But, yeah, it's been, well, I mean.
Bro, you got to look at it now. 30 years ago was 1990.
Oh, trust me, I know.
So, I'm
91.
So, I'm thinking, like, you know.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong.
40,
like,
50 years.
Most of it's a cage now. And some of them, a lot, they all paint whatever have you on them. So, I mean, you know, they'll
gotta be like 70s or 60s, maybe,
that they wore those. Probably around there, yeah.
We'll go back and check it out. But, yeah, I got to say that scene right there where he turns and looks is probably my favorite scene.
I was about to say, it kind of humanizes him to a point.
Yeah.
To a point, at least. You know, at least making, like, because, if I'm not mistaken, you were the one who brought it up
what's up?
Episode, kind of saying that he is decomposing, of course, throughout the years, and it's like a spell is basically put on him, and he decomposes over the times and all that stuff. Because literally, you know, you see the fresh kid, and then all of a sudden you go from that, and you see the, what is it, the...
He gets more and more zombie-like.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like that throughout the entirety of the entire film. But, yeah, it's kind of just
well, you cool don't see that. You don't see any decomposing in this movie.
No, and that, I mean, they're wrong. The nearest thing would be the axe hit that he takes. But, I mean, other than that, no. I don't think you start to see any of that until, like, 5 or 6. I think more 6 than anything, because...
We'll get into it. We didn't talk about it at the beginning of the episode like we always do. But was this your first time watch in how many years?
Honestly, I'll tell you, I don't remember.
Is it going to be like that for the rest, you think?
Not all of them, though. Most of them, but like 3 or 4 of them, it's only been like 3 to 5 years. Like, Takes Manhattan, I think, has been 3 years. Let's see.
So,
yeah.
Star rating before we get out of here.
You know, honestly, I've got to say, I think a 7. I think a strong, strong 7 on this one. Points taken off for some of the cheesy looking stuff and a little bit too much gratuitous 3D crap, like the yo-yo or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the yo seems funny.
But, I mean, you know, other than unnecessary stuff like that, or even, you know, the dude laying in the middle of the road with the eyeball, like, some of that stuff was unnecessary, but... That's the only reason I take off points.
I like cheesy. I like cheesy so much I'm going to give this movie an 8. I think this is clearly so far out of the first 3. This is the best one with Jason. And then I think this is on, you know, depending on what day you ask me, this could be a 9 and this could be just as good as the original. I'm going to give this movie an 8. I like the cheesiness. I love the score. I love the theme song. You get Jason's mask, you get just some original kills, and then I think this is, so far out of the first 3 movies, even though the first one had Kevin Bacon in it, this is the best surrounding cast, I would ask, in this movie compared to the other 2. That's just me. I'm giving this an 8. But let us know what you guys think. Do you guys enjoy Friday the 13th Part 3? If so, let us know at the email box, cinemen921@gmail.com. That spells out cinemen921@gmail.com. We will read some emails over the episode on Monday, August 23rd. Ed, Monday we're talking Matrix Reloaded. Yep. Are you excited? Have you rewatched it yet?
Yeah. I honestly know the plot without even rewatching it this time either way, but yeah, I've rewatched it this time for it. But yeah, can't wait to go ahead and see y'all's thoughts and understand what y'all like, don't like, or love about it, whatever.
Alright, so Monday, August 23rd, we talked The Matrix Reloaded. Ed, are you excited now that we got this one, you know, in the books? Are you excited for part 4?
Yeah, so far, I mean, honestly, I cannot remember the last time I've seen part 4.
That's fine. We're going to watch it this week, and we're going to talk about it next week right here on this bonus edition of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast that'll drop next Thursday, August 26th. Until The Matrix Reloaded, Ed, do you have anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, I mean, honestly, just kind of fun, fun going through this entire series, kind of, you know, being able to put a stamp on, you know, 2021 was when I got to see all of them again. Looking forward to the next one and the next one and the next one. So yeah, this is Ed saying I'll see you on the silver screen.
Go check him out. Friday the 13th. We're talking about all of them. We're talking about part 4 next Thursday. But check out The Matrix Reloaded, as we will talk about that on Monday. Until then, guys, this is Juan saying we will talk to you next week as we talk Friday the 13th part 4. Don't forget to go check out Friday the 14th podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, as they are talking Wes Craven's New Nightmare. So go check it out. Monday, Matrix Reloaded, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Could have drowned it.